Book of Revelations this morning. Chapter 1. I want to look at two texts in the book of Revelations. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed, extremely happy, Brother Clyde spoke of last night. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now let's look in Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy? Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" Verse 3 tells us the usual condition of man. And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able. That's our true condition. Mankind is not able to do anything. We're not able. We're so proud of our technology, and we live in such an arrogant day, time. But we're not able to do a thing apart from God's grace and mercy and working. And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy. We are not able. We are not worthy. That just about sums up our condition, doesn't it? And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, look up. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. As it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth to all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they prayed. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests. We shall reign on the earth. Let us pray. Dear God Almighty, just bless your word. Lord, I ask for your great grace to proclaim your word to your people. This may all be to your honor, your glory, and your praise. Work in our midst. If there's anybody here today, lost, dear God, we ask you might save their soul through proclaiming your word and working your spirit inside them, Lord. And Father, we pray that we are saved to be drawn closer to you somehow. In Jesus' precious holy name we pray. Amen. I want to share, in a way of introduction, some of the things that I believe the Lord has brought me to about the book of Revelation. Often the book of Revelations is a feared book. Often the book of Revelations, probably if you took a poll of most church members, is probably one of the least read books amongst church people. But I believe, and by God's word and by what we find revealed in this first chapter, that I believe the book of Revelation is a book of the Bible to be taken as any other book of the Bible. I believe it is to be taken as directly and simply and straightforwardly as absolutely possible. I don't believe it's to be spiritualized away. I don't believe it's to be fantasized or theorized away. I don't believe it's to be amillennialized away. I believe it's to be received just as we receive Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, or any other of the Word of God, just as straight and just as direct and just as simple as we do any other portion of the Word of God. I believe the book of Revelations, by God's decree, is a blessed book. It's a blessed book. Look in Revelations 1 here in verse 3. Blessed! Extremely joyful and happy and uplifted and encouraged and strengthened. Blessed is he. Now note this. Doesn't say, blessed is he that understandeth everything that's written in the book. Because I'll be the first one to stand right up here before you today, beloved, and say, there's a bunch yet I don't claim to understand about the book of Revelation. But look at the blessedness of it. Blessed is he that readeth. Readeth. I'd encourage you, especially in this day and time that we live. To me, the book of Revelations is one of the most uplifting and encouraging books that we can live in, and we can read and know in these last days. Yeah. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things that are written therein. You know, the things that God would have us to keep, especially as you read through the first three chapters concerning the Lord dealing with the churches and so forth, the things that God has, they're very direct. They're very straightforward. They're very to the point. And blessed are they that read and hear and keep those things which are written in the book. Beloved, I believe the book of Revelations is a church epistle. I've never read any writings on the book of Revelation that anybody has written that ever, ever made sense when they themselves did not believe and know and understand the truth of the Lord's church. And church members get a hold of all these popular books about Revelation by a bunch of false prophets who don't have the first idea about what the Lord's church is and how it functions and how the Lord established it and how it will persevere and go on throughout all time and eternity. And yet they're going to write about Revelation. Beloved, the book of Revelation, it's a church epistle. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia. Look in chapter 22 with me, verse 16. It's a church epistle. And if you don't know and believe and understand the truth of the Lord's church, you'll never understand Revelation. Revelation 22 and verse 16, the very words of our Christ. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Book of Revelation is a church epistle. So if you're looking to get something out of Revelation, don't look to these guys that you can go to the local so-called Christian bookstore, these national authors that don't know the first thing about the Lord's church, and try to find out about the book of Revelation. First and foremost, I believe the book of Revelation is just what it says in verse 1. chapter 1. So revelation, a very special revelation of our glorified Christ, of Jesus. I tell you, so many people think of Jesus and they still think of a babe in a manger. They still think of a poor wandering soul on the face of the earth with no home and no place of his own. They still think of the poor prophet that going around and being despised and rejected. And beloved, we need to get a real picture of our Christ today. And Revelation is a great book to get it from. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants, to show his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. The book of Revelation is truly a blessed book. Having this established, I want to look at our main text, chapter 5. And I want to consider these verses. Let's read verse 5 and 6 once again, beloved. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, look up, look out, look where you need to be looking. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed. He hath prevailed. We'll touch on that more later. To open the book. That's not the only thing the Lord's prevailed in. But he hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb. Stood a lamb as it had been slain. Our message this morning, beloved, is Christ, our Lamb, our Root, and our Lion. Christ, our Lamb, our Root, and our Lion. Beloved, as the Lamb of God, Christ is the source of our salvation. He is not one of many. He is not that source in part. But He is absolutely, totally, completely the source of our salvation. He is the propitiation, the means whereby our sin is covered and cleansed. Behold, stood a lamb. Christ is the Root. As the Root, beloved, He is the source of all our substance, of all our supply, of anything that we have needed, might need today, and will need in the future. Christ is the Root. He's the source of that. Beloved, Christ is the Lion. He's our champion. He's our conqueror. Lion is known in the natural world as King of the Jungle. Beloved, our Lord, Jesus Christ, He's King of Kings. And Lord, He's the source of all our security. He's the source of our perseverance and preservation. He's the source of our ultimate victory. It's all in Christ. Jesus Christ, our Lamb, our Root, and our Lion. Beloved, as the Lamb of God, He came sacrificially to give Himself. Look with me back in the book of Isaiah. It was prophesied here what Christ the Lamb would do. Isaiah 53, very familiar text, I'm sure, with everyone. If you're here today and lost, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen very carefully, because you can never know Jesus Christ as your Root, your source of all supply. You can never know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lion, your champion, your source of all security, till you know Jesus Christ as your Lamb. Do you know Him as your only source and know Him as your Savior? Isaiah 53, it says, verse 3, He was despised and rejected of man. Of men, a man of many sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, our Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as the sheep before the shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. We drop on down in verse 10, and it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him and to put him to grief, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Also, many times we focus and fix on the physical aspects of the cross. And they were certainly gruesome and certainly horrible. And they certainly so disfigured our Lord that he was unrecognizable. But beloved, he made his soul an offering for our sin. It went beyond the physical. It went beyond his body, beloved. He offered his soul an offering in full for our sin. He shall see his seed and shall prolong his days, and the pleasures of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. All men are running around literally on the face of this earth right now. There are millions of people in false religions, and they're doing anything and everything to try to satisfy God in regards to their sin, and can't but fail. Because one, our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lamb, went to the cross of Calvary, and when God the Father saw the travail of his soul, he was satisfied. God the Son had to come and die. He had to be born Emmanuel. He had to be God in the flesh, because he had to die for sinful flesh. But he also had to be God the Son, because only God the Son could suffer infinitely enough to satisfy our sin debt, to pay for our sin. People talk about dying and going to hell and paying for their sin. No. People die and go to hell and they suffer for all eternity for their sin. Jesus Christ is the only one that ever paid for sin. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. The Lamb of God. What it was prophesied. You know, many of these things are spoken of as, you know, they are done. In God's eyes, they were. There was no question about it. Let's look in 1 Peter chapter. Well, before we go, let's look in John quickly, chapter 1. What was the first proclamation of John the Baptist when he saw Jesus? John chapter 1, verse 28. John 1, 28. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. And the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, behold, the same thing it said in Revelation, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Verse 35 and 36, it says, and again the next day John stood, two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. Now in 1 Peter chapter 1, we read in Isaiah prophetically what Christ would do. We read here in Peter what Christ has done, what he did do, what he accomplished. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're not saved from our sin by any sacrifice we can make, by anything we might give, or anything that we might do, but we are saved by the blood of the Lamb. The pure, precious, sinless blood of the Lamb. Lamb without spot, without blemish. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as ye know, that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Are you saved today? Are you trusting in nothing but the blood of the Lamb? If you're not, you need to be. No other means, no other way, no other source can cleanse you of your sin. You can give all the money there is to give. You can do all the good works you can think to do. You can turn over all the new leaves that you can think of to do throughout the days of your life. You can follow this religion and that religion and die and go to hell. But only by turning from yourself and sin and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice, what He did for you on Calvary, shed His pure and precious blood for all your sin, can you be saved? We pray that God will work that work of grace in your heart today if you're lost in your sin. Christ is more, though, than our sacrificial lamb, who is the source of our salvation. Beloved, He's our root. Go back to Revelation chapter 5. I'm so thankful that the Lord is not just the root of David. He's our root. He's our source of all supply. It says, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the root of David hath prevailed." Beloved, as the root, and we in Him, where does all the nourishment and all the strength and all the ability to blossom and bloom and to grow forth come from? A branch on a tree comes from the root. Comes from the root. Beloved, Christ is the root. He said so Himself. Look with me back in the book of John, chapter 15. John 15. So many times we seek our supply from self. So many times we seek our supply from family and friends. So many times we seek our supply from some earthly source when we need to be looking to our root. The old saying about getting back to your root. There's never been a more important day for the Lord's people to do that than today. We need to get back to our roots. Many churches today are looking and depending on programs and methods. And they're looking to appease and entertain and do whatever it takes to get a crowd in. And they're trusting in those things to supposedly build churches for the Lord. Beloved, we need to get back to the root. Christ is the root. If He don't add, if He don't move, if He doesn't set, all of our plans and programs and everything else we might come up with are just so much wasted energy, wasted energy. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 1, "I am the true vine." There's a lot of false vines out there. There's a lot of false ones out there claiming to be the root. You follow me. You follow my method. You follow what I've devised. And buddy, I tell you what, you'll see souls saved and so forth. I've even heard one guy can claim to get into a house and get a soul saved in 30 seconds. What a travesty. What a total abomination before our God. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, in that which is the root. That's our Lord. That's Jesus. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Note this last statement. For without me, ye can do nothing. There's a lot of so-called Baptists that's forgotten that today. What's scary is there's a lot of Baptists, so-called Baptists, that say they're sovereign grace, Bible-believing Baptists. That forgotten that today. Amen. For without me, ye can do nothing. Christ is the root, beloved. If we're not doing it His way, if we're not doing it in Him, if we're not doing it by His power and grace and for His honor and His glory, we're not doing it. People say, well, what about this and what about that? What about all these numbers? What about all these big buildings? I want to tell you what, I think Judgment Day comes. There's going to be a whole lot of folks surprised on what God counts fruit and what He doesn't. Christ is the root. He's the source of all our supply. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, verse 19, let's read. I can't do, and we can't do a thing in ourselves. But there's not anything that God in His will and according to His word that He would have us do that we cannot do in Christ. Philippians 4 and 13, the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, which is my root, which is the source of all our strength and supply. Verse 19 says this, but my God shall supply all your need. How? By what means? By what source? But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, the root. That's why this is so important. Look in Colossians chapter 2. Oh, as God's people and God's churches today, beloved, let's get this. Let's take this to heart. In this day of big business and promotions and programs, in this day where churches are entertainment centers full of theatrical production, rather than worship. Beloved, get this. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6 says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Now let's all go back to when we were saved. Any of us who are here and have truly been saved, the time, the day, it don't matter what hour we were saved, but the time at which we were saved, we come to the point where we weren't looking to anybody else, we weren't trusting anybody else, there wasn't anybody in the world that we could turn to. The time that the Lord saved us, we saw nothing but the Lord. We saw nothing but Jesus. We had no hope, we had no security, we had no joy in anything but Jesus. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. And we need to not only receive Him as Savior, we need to receive Him as Lord. And we're going to touch on that before we close, but so walk ye in Him. What's the very first thing? Rooted. Rooted. And built up in Him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. But beware. Watch out. Be on guard, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. A lot of that going on today. A lot of that going on by so-called Baptist preachers. A lot of that going on in Baptist churches. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are what? Complete in Him. Beloved, if we're complete in Christ, if we're rooted in Christ, what else do we need? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Christ is our root. Now let's go back to Revelation chapter 5. Beloved, Christ is our Lamb. He's the source of our salvation. Completely, absolutely. Apart from Him, there is none else. There is no salvation. He is not a way. He is the way. Christ is our root. He's the source of all our substance, of all our supply. Of anything and everything we need, anywhere, anytime, Christ is it. Look to the Lord. You know, throughout the course of our service, primarily because we're a lot like Israel, we suffer a lot of defeats at our own hands. That's right. Any defeat I've ever suffered in my life for the Lord, it's been at my own hands. Because I've left the Lamb, I've left the root, I try to do something myself. But beloved, we have a Lion. We have a champion. We have a conqueror. We have one who goes before. We have one who stands beside. We have one who upholds from beneath. We have one who lifts from above. We have one who's backing us up. And that one is Jesus. We find in Revelation chapter 5, and it says, "Weep not. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Behold the champion. Behold the conqueror. Behold Him who has prevailed." Christ has not only prevailed to open this book, but beloved, He's prevailed over Satan. He's prevailed over sin. He's prevailed over death. He's prevailed over hell. He's prevailed over this world. And He's sitting right now at the right hand of the throne of God. And He's coming again. Amen. Our champion, our conqueror, the source of all our security. We can't save ourselves and we can't keep ourselves, but we know Him who can, don't we? We know the Lord. One of the greatest travesties of so much of modern day evangelism is all they do is make our Lord Jesus Christ a fire escape from hell. And if that's all you're looking for, you're looking at the wrong Jesus. Amen. You're not looking at the Lamb who is our root, who is our Lion, our champion. Beloved, what did Paul tell the Philippian jailer? Brother Hall read it. He said, "What must I do to be saved?" And they said, Paul and Silas both together, said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." So many today just want a fire escape. They don't want a Lord of their life. They want assurance that they can live like they want to live, sin how they want to sin, do anything they want to do, follow the world any way they want to follow them, and then die, and by it's all going to be okay anyhow. But that's not Bible, beloved. That's not God's Word. That's not looking to the Lion. The Lord is our Lion, beloved. He's our champion. He needs to be Lord of our life. Lord of lords and King of kings. Look in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. Revelation 1, 8. "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the ending, saith the Lord." Saith the Lord, "which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." The Almighty. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19. I'm not serving today a little babe still in a manger somewhere. I'm not serving today a poor prophet wandering around homelessly on the face of this earth. I'm not serving today some poor prophet who was in the wrong place at the wrong time and got himself killed and is in some hole in the ground somewhere today. I'm serving today a glorified, resurrected Lord of lords and King of kings. That's who we're looking to. Beloved, He's our Lion. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened. Oh, dear God, let us see that today. I saw heaven opened. And behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him was called Faithful and True. If that's what our Lord is called, what should we as people be called? What should we be striving for? Shouldn't we be striving for faithfulness and truth? Faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. God's word is unbreakable and unbendable. And it's going to be his source of judgment, his word. The same word today that people scoff at and laugh at and say it's outdated, it's old-fashioned, it don't account for us today. Times have changed, society has changed, we got to get up with the times, we've got to change it, we got to rearrange it. God help us to realize out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. His name is the Word of God, and he's going to smite the nations with his word. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. This don't sound like the cream puff, lovey-dovey Jesus that wouldn't ever send anybody to hell. Most all the modern-day evangelists uphold. This is the true picture of Christ, beloved. God is love, but His love cannot, will not override His holiness, righteousness, and judgment. And He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's our Lion, beloved. He's our conqueror. He's our champion. We are secure. Our victory is secure in Him. Jesus Himself said this in His earthly ministry in John 16. This has become one of my favorite verses of comfort throughout day in and day out affairs. John 16 and verse 33. There's nearly a day goes by that my mind don't settle on this verse some way, somehow, throughout the day. John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me, then in me, we're not going to have peace in ourselves. We're not going to have peace in our family. We're not going to have peace in this world. We're not going to have peace in our professions. We're not going to have peace in our possessions. If we're going to have peace, we're only going to find it in Christ. In our Lamb, in our root, in our Lion, our champion. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But, aren't you glad it doesn't stop there? But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I'm your champion. I've done overcome. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Sometimes people look at us and they say, oh, poor old bunch of sovereign grace, independent missionary Baptists. Pastoring a bunch of little churches. Not making a big impression on much of anybody, anywhere, anytime. You know, when President Clinton or there's some big happening, there's a school shooting or something like that goes on. You know what? You don't find them calling independent, true, Testament Missionary Baptist pastors in for counsel, do you? They'd be a whole lot better off if they did, but you don't find that, do you? But beloved, we're more than conquerors through our Lord, our Lion. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 says this. Who shall separate us? Who shall separate us? From the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? I thought many times as the brethren have been preaching, and this every message has just blessed my heart. My cup runneth over. But I thought many times how much we pray for God to shield us and to keep us and not let us or our wives or our families or our churches go through tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. But you know, beloved, it's those very things many times that drive us to Christ. Amen. That drive us to our knees. That get us down looking up where we ought to be looking. That help us realize more than anything else in the world the conquerors we are in Christ who loved us. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay! Hold up! Stop the presses! Nay! In all these things, in all our tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Very things that we spend most of the time, and I certainly don't want to go through any more. I pray for my family, pray for our church. You hate to go through those times. But which of us hasn't? Which of us right now can't look very far in our lives and in our families and not see some distress? Not see some tribulation? Not see some need that you know, no matter what you say, no matter what you do, that you're powerless to do anything about it? But we're not defeated in those things. Those things aren't, God doesn't allow those to come into our lives to defeat us, but to show us, nay, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us, through our Lion. Christ, our Lamb, our Root, our Lion. Question is, have you submitted yourself to the purpose whereunto God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, has saved you? We're not saved just to be turned loose and do what we please, when we please, how we please. You know, I love living in America. I love the liberties we have. But you know what I've seen? I've seen far too much of this idea of personal civil liberty running over in churches and in the lives of Christians. I'm free. I'm liberty. I can do what I want. Paul said he was free. He said, I'm at liberty to do anything I want to, but all things are not expedient. And all things edify not. And therefore, and I'm paraphrasing, but the gist of the context there in Corinthians is, he says, because of that, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to get involved in it. Paul limited his personal liberty for the honor and glory of the Lamb, of the Root, and of Him who is our Life. Bible says in Revelation, we're saved, we're called, we're set to what? Revelation chapter 1 again, quickly in closing. Verse 5 and 6, Revelation 1. John to the seven churches, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us anything we are, it's what he's made us. Made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Are you walking worthy of your vocation? Ephesians 4 says that we ought to be seeking and striving to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. You know what I fear today? Many times the Lord looks at my life. I fear today that He'll look down at the church He's given me to pastor. I fear today that He'll look down and my family's life, my children's life, that He'll look down at us today, beloved, and say the very same thing He said to His disciples. Luke 6:46. Why? Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the thing which I say? God help us. He's our land. He's our source of salvation. He's our root. He's our source of all supply. And He's our lion, our champion, our conqueror, the source of all our security and victory. And we're complete in Him, and we'll overcome in Him. But we need to walk worthy of the vocation where we're called. We need to be surrendered to Him and not just call Him Lord, but really have Him Lord of our lives. God bless you.